Morning, church. We are back online again. So excited to be with you. We are back in this format because, unfortunately, someone at our church did test positive for the COVID-19 virus. And according to CDC guidelines, we need quarantine and just make sure things are in tip-top shape when it comes to cleanliness. And so we are going to go back to an online format for the month of July and really the last week of June. And so we'll be back hopefully the first week of August, ready to go with you. We miss you. We love you. But we do believe that God is in control. And the good thing about it is that this person is asymptomatic. So they feel great. They're in great spirits. And we know that there's always a risk in what's happening here in life. But God's in control. And we know that he's going to work out his plan and purpose. And we're praying against the spread of this virus continually so that we can meet together again eventually. But in the meantime, we're going to share the word, we're going to continue preaching, and hopefully you are encouraged today. So today we are in our last week of our series called Real Talk, and I know this month we have dove into a few words, this idea of restoration, refine. Last week we talked about unpacking on Father's Day, and this week we're going to end with the word regroup, and where do we go from here, especially coming out of a hard season. Because we've come out of a hard season last month, 2 months ago, and some of us are still in that season, but seasons do change, and we're going to get into this today. The first thing I do want to say is this, is that God loves you, and that he has a plan for your life. And when we talk about this idea of love, I just want to let you know that love does. It's an action verb, that God always is doing something for us and getting us ready for what he has for us. He hasn't forsaken us or abandoned us, but love is an action verb. We know the Bible talks about for God so loved that he gave. And so we're going to look at the book of James, chapter 1, starting verse 22. And it says this. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So he is saying, don't just read the word, act on it. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And we become more like Christ and our faith is perfected the more we actually act on the word. And so love does. We talk about doing hard things in this church because that's the journey of spirituality. Not just receiving what God has given us, but also actually going out and living as a Christian. God has something great for you, but he also wants you to act on what he's telling you to do to become more like him. The second thing is this. Seasons change. We won't always be in the season that we're in right now. The Bible talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes that there is a time for everything under heaven. And no matter what season you're in right now, that season will end. For some of you as parents who are training kids, eventually they will get out of the toddler stage and they will grow up in the elementary and they will become teenagers and eventually move out of your house because that's God's plan. But in every stage, God is faithful. Seasons change. You won't always be the same person you are now. You are adapting and God is doing different things in your life and you're becoming a different person every single day. Just look at the way you look. Your features are changing and as a Christian, inwardly you're being transformed, the Bible talks about, into the image of who Jesus Christ is. Though outwardly you're perishing, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And that's an exciting thing because God is doing something from the inside out. Your season will change. There will come a time where you will reap from all the things and the seeds that you've been sowing in your life because God is faithful. He talks about reaping what we sow. And there's a time in our life where we feel like that all we're doing is sowing, but I promise you, just as the book of Galatians says, that you will reap if you don't give up. A harvest will come to you, and that you will bear fruit. And I believe that fruit, good fruit in your life that's going to remain. And so be encouraged today that just as a farmer plants seeds in the ground and the rains come and he tills the ground, eventually fruit is born from it, plants are born from it, good things happen from it, and it's the same way in your life. You may look at yourself now and say, I just feel like I'm down, I feel like I'm buried. Take heart. Eventually, you will see the light of day again, and then God will bring the sunshine of his grace into your life. And in reality, it's His grace right now that is sufficient for you in helping you in every season of your life. He's faithful. Those seasons come and go. Just as the summer months hit us just fast this year, we're going to automatically, we're going to be talking about Christmas soon. I've already seen commercials that say Christmas in July. And so Christmas movies are going to be coming on. My daughter last night put on The Grinch. So she's feeling it too. There's cabin fever when it comes to what's happening right now, and let's just watch Christmas movies. And so that's just where we're at. Seasons are gonna change, and we'll move on after the season of this COVID-19 strand, and we'll look back, we'll be able to tell stories of God's faithfulness and how He brought us through and how He provided. He provided, because God still provides. The Bible talks about us bearing fruit, even in dry seasons, when things aren't happening the way that we think they should happen. We're going to bear fruit. And I believe right now that God is writing your story through this season so that when you get out of it, you'll look back and say, you know what grandma had to go through in 2020? And you'll be able to tell stories to your kids, but you'll always be able to recount God's faithfulness in your life and what He did for you during this time. Because I would venture to say the summer you are growing like you haven't grown before. Because you're relying on God like you have not relied on God before. And that's where He wants you. He wants you in the place of reliance and dependence upon Him. Because that's where that intimate relationship is developed and deepened. And you're learning more about God's grace and His plan for you as an individual, because He does have a plan for you as an individual. And it's an exciting time, though it can be a discouraging time. We have to turn our eyes toward Jesus, knowing that He is actually finishing the work that He started, and He's moving us through these seasons because He wants us to become and learn more about who He is and also become who He's called us to be, so that we can receive in the next season what He's called us to receive. That's how faithful God is. There's always another season. Don't get stuck in this is all there is. Don't allow the enemy to tell you that that's it, life's over, you've made it, you've hit the end of the road. God always is digging different roads and helping us burrow through hard times in our lives so that we can see the value of the things that we go through. Everything that's happening in your life right now, God is working out for good. It's for good, because that's who He is. God is good. He is good. And you may not see the results of His goodness right now in a tangible way, you might say, but God is doing something deeper in our life that's going to last. It's going to last. And that's what He's looking for. A lasting relationship where that relationship with Him is thriving and it's exciting no matter what's happening in your life. You've come too far to quit. You've come too far to look back. Keep your eyes ahead and forward and continue to walk with God, because He has great things for you. One of my favorite seasons, especially as we get into summer and we get into the fall, is Christmas time, Thanksgiving time. And I know we're talking about this right now, but it's halftime. It's halftime. It's half a year. And we look forward to our favorite times of the year. Favorite times. And I would encourage you to look forward, not backward. Recount what God has done and how He's brought you this far. But just like any team in a game, at halftime, they always make adjustments. And so for you, I would look back over your life over the last 6 months and say, okay, where has God taken me from January till now? And we know that it wasn't the plan or the journey that you thought it was going to be, because we've had to come through some odd things this year, odd things. But that doesn't stop the plan that God has. And what it does for us is that it just redirects maybe some of the things that we thought were important and repositions us to receive the things that are really important in our life. But it doesn't mean that we don't move toward what we set out to do and what God has called us to do in the beginning of the year. Especially in our church, as we talked about this idea of restoration, and I believe God is restoring, and He has been restoring in the lives of a lot of people in our community. He does want to do the same thing for you. The great thing about God is this, is that the process is not abdicated just because circumstances aren't the way you think they should be. God is still in the midst of the process, working out His perfect plan in your life. And the things that God has promised you that He's going to do, He will do. He will do. Because he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. And if there's nothing else that you get out of what's happened this year, I pray that you get out this idea that God is faithful. He's faithful. He's never going to let you go. He's going to come through for you, and he's right on time, and he knows what you need even before you need it. He's faithful. And he has you on the road that you're on for a reason, because it's going to be the very thing that's going to catapult you into this next season. And I just feel that in my heart, that we need to gird ourselves, strengthen ourselves for what he has next, because there is a next. This is coming to an end, the season. And to be ready. And don't allow the enemy to tell you that what God started, he's not going to finish. He's a liar. He will finish it, and he's going to bring out greater than you actually thought. When you're being pruned and things are being cut back in your life, it's not a real pleasant process, but it's beneficial so that we can come back stronger and we can grow bigger and fuller. Fuller. And I believe that that's what God wants for us. He wants fullness. Fullness. And so when he goes back and circumstances he uses to cut back things in our life that are not working for us, he does it so that we can actually begin to see the value of what he's doing in our life, and he actually causes things to work. He smooths out the rough edges. The things that we don't think are working, God says, okay, I'm going to cause them to work. Whatever you're deficient in, I'm going to help make that up. Because I want you to be effective. I want you to be vibrant. I want you to be a tool for me so that when the world sees you, they see me. They see that, man, there is somebody at work in that person's life because of the fruit that's being born. And to get them to think that, you know, anytime something difficult or hard is happening, that person always seems to come out on top. Always seems to come out on top. Because it's God's faithfulness in undergirding us, protecting us, and preserving us, and helping us to become more like him. He's not going to leave us. Third thing is this. It's simple, because winners win. They win. We're going to win. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Listen, Christ's triumphal procession. You know he hasn't lost. He won. He won. And so when he interrupts your life, you're dealing with a winner. You're not dealing with a loser. God already sees the end from the beginning. He knows what it takes to win because he has won. I think of Tom Brady. Not everybody likes him. They don't like him. But the fact of the matter is that he knows how to win. He's been in big games before, and he knows what it takes to take his team down on the last drive for them to win. And how many times have you seen him do that? How many times have you seen God come through for you and already go before you and prepare a way? You're not dealing with someone who doesn't know what he's doing. You're dealing with someone who knows how to build his church, build you, and he knows what it takes to get you to be a winner. God does not want you to lose. He wants you to win. That's why he goes to great lengths to encourage you and to strengthen you and to surround you not only with people, but an environment that you feel free, that you can grow and develop and be pushed, because he knows what it takes for you to get there. For some of you, you've had this mentality that God doesn't want you to succeed and that you'll never make it. And I'm here to tell you today that's a lie from the enemy, because he has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And I come against that spirit in Jesus' name, that spirit of lack and defeat that says I can't, and that will be replaced with I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's the God we serve. The God who wants me to rise up in strength and to do what he's called me to do. The God who gives me a spirit of power, love, and of self-control, self-discipline. That type of God that we serve. Not the losing type of God. A God who wants us to win. Who wants us to stand up in strength and say, I will do it. I will combat the enemy. I will fight this depression. I will fight this anxiety. I will tear down every stronghold, every imagination that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. I will have soundness of mind. I will win. what the enemy is trying to do will not take effect and fruit in my life. And before I die, I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, and I will walk in the purpose of God, because who God is, and nothing and no one will stop me from that. That's the type of God that we serve, and the type of confidence that God wants us to have, because you're a winner. You're a winner. Don't let anybody tell you differently. You're winning right now. Your life may not be the way you think it should be, but I'm telling you right now, it's perfect. What do you mean it's perfect? It is perfect. It is perfectly not perfect. Because God is perfecting faith in the midst of the imperfection. Always. There's always that beauty and that beast side of us that's taking place. And that match that's happening all the time in our life as we're becoming more and more like Him. And that's the beauty of it. He's not looking for perfection in you to do it right all the time. What He wants is to get in there and do it with you. And perfect faith in you. Some of your most intimate relationships are the relationships that are raw. And God says, I want to get into that, because I can do something with someone who's honest and with someone who's struggling, as opposed to with someone who stands back like a Pharisee and judges other people. I can do something with someone like that. That's who I'm attracted to. That's who Jesus was attracted to when He was here. Let me hang out with the sinners, because at least they know. Have you had that revelation in yourself? That just said, Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. That without Jesus, you wouldn't be anything. And that in itself should cause you to draw near to Him and say, yes, let's do this thing together, and not apologize for who you are and what God is doing in your life, and be you. Because that's what God is looking for. Don't apologize for it. He's faithful. He wants you to win. In your messed up state, God wants you to win. Because He's interested in doing life with people who know they don't have it all together. Because then He says, okay, I can work with that. I can work with that. And by the way, when this is all said and done, you're going to win. Not just when you get up to heaven with me, because yeah, we're going to have a time in eternity, but I want you to win here. Because I want you to be a testimony of my grace here and show people that you serve a God who actually is for them, not against them. When the Bible says that He so loved the world that He gave, the fact that God gave shows us that He loves. He could have held back, but He said, you know what? I'm not going to hold back my best, because I know if I don't give you my best, that you won't make it in relationship with me. And so first and foremost, know that God loves you, because He loves you. He gave you an opportunity for you to come in relationship with Him. You have to come to grips with the fact that you're in need of a Savior. You're in need of a Savior. You're in need of someone who's going to come in and help renovate your life so that you can think differently and also act differently. That's who God is. Some of you have come a long way. You've got a long way to go, but the journey is worth it, because you have someone walking with you, helping you slay down giants and tread over things in your life that have been toppling you for years. I believe that not only this year of restoration, that God wants to restore things back in your life, but restore back dignity, to restore back faith, so that the things that have been whooping you for years, that He said, you know what, you're going to turn around and start whooping that thing. That's part of your heritage, to be a winner. You're following with someone who has won. And so if I'm following with someone who knows how to win, guess what? Eventually, I'm going to learn how to win. And I'm telling you today, we've got to know that. And the way we win, as we wrap up this series, is we got to do. Love does. We got to get in the Word, and not just read the Word, but actually do it. And as we do it, even though we might struggle in doing it, it becomes part of our life, and we begin to see the value that it has, and it works as we do it. The second thing we have to know is that seasons change. They're not going to be the same all the time. Don't think what you have is all you're going to have, because as faith is working in you, seasons change. And you come into different facets of who you are and what God has for you. Don't stay down. That's my encouragement to you. Don't stay down. Get up and exercise your faith and exercise the gifts that God has put inside of you, even during this month that we're going to be on quarantine. Again. Work it. Use your gift. And third thing is this. Know that you're following someone who already knows how to win. So he's got the blueprint, so I can follow him, because he always leads me in triumphal procession. So he's always going to lead me to victory. Always. The enemy will always try to divide your attention and say, nah, that's not the way to go. Go this way to bring distraction. Jesus says, follow me, I'll give you victory. And maybe that's where you're at today. You're struggling, you don't know where to go, and Jesus is saying, hey, it's me. If you just follow me during this time, I'll show you what it looks like to win. I'll show you what it looks like to overcome. I'll show you what it looks like to defeat and actually leave the field and say, you know what? I gave it my best, because honestly, it feels great to win. Anybody who tells you that they love losing is a liar. It feels great to win. Ask anyone, and it's addicting. I want to win. So when someone says to you, man, it feels great to win, they know what they're talking about. And for those of you who are out there today who've played sports, wherever it is, when you win, not just in sports, on your job, when you win in your marriage, when you feel like you're winning in your mind and you're making progress, what a great feeling, because it caused you to say, I can continue to do this because he's always leading me. He wants me to win in every area, not just one, every area. Because we serve a God who's already won. And victory is sweet. It doesn't mean that it doesn't come without a battle and you're not on the field struggling. But life was meant to be on the field, not on the sideline. Don't allow the enemy to sideline you during the season that is temporal. This is a very temporal season. And don't allow him to sideline you and say, you know what? Well, it's better just to take a step back. No, it's better. Yeah, we can use wisdom, but get ready and gear yourself up for the next season. Gear it up. I don't care what last year looked like. Anytime a new season starts, especially in sports, there's always hope that this year is going to be a better year. Because if you don't have that hope, your season is over before it even started, because you've lost it in your head. So what are your aspirations for the next season? Yeah, the next one. Dream. God never said stop dreaming. God never said stop believing me. I don't care what it looks like. What is it? What are your aspirations? I'm in it with you. I'm going to bring you through it. I haven't abdicated the throne just because everything else is going crazy and the enemy thinks that he's won. He hasn't won. I have him on a leash. He hasn't won. You've won already in me, and you will continue to win. Come on. Come to me. Talk to me. What's in your heart? I'll show you what I place there. And let's come into agreement that that's actually going to happen. That's the exciting thing about who God is. Not the fact that it's not happening the way I think it's going to happen, but the fact is that God's going to do it in the midst of what's happening, because that's who God is. He loves us that way, to get in and say, I'm going to do it with you. I'm so excited about you. I'm excited about the way I created you. I'm excited about how I made you. I'm excited about the way you think. I'm excited about the way you dance sometimes. I'm excited about how I created you. I made you that way. So come on, let's do this thing. Let's get on the field together. Let's see where it goes. I might get hurt. So what? Is a life worth living? Who hasn't gotten hurt? And I believe sometimes we use that excuse. What if I get hurt? What if something happens? I pray something does happen that's out of your control, so that you realize, number one, you're not in control, and that number two, you'll start to live a little bit instead of worrying about what's going to happen. I believe God today is just trying to help you understand. I just want you to live. Live. First way you're going to live is to get in my word. Second way you're going to live is to know that there's always something else that's going to come next. This isn't it. The benefit of leaving the summer going to the fall for most of us is, thank God the weather's going to change. There's always a benefit. And to know that in the end, as Christians, we win. We're spending eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's exciting for us. But while we're here, let's win because we've already won in Him. And not apologize for seeing God's goodness happen in our life because God's blessing us. There's no reason to apologize for that. There's no reason to back down because of anybody. But to stand up and say, I know who Jesus is and who He's created me to be. I can be who God has created me to be regardless. It doesn't matter. I am the best me. The best me. And that is success. You being you, you doing you, and you allow God to do it with you. Be encouraged today. It's got good things for you. Next week, we're going to start a series on Colossians as we move into the summer. Some of you might be saying, well, Colossians, where is that? It's in the New Testament. And it's going to be great. We're excited about it. Stay connected with us online. Let's pray, because I know God's doing great things. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the wonderful atmosphere, Lord, that you create in a relationship that we have with you. We know that where your spirit is, there's liberty. Thank you for your faithfulness to come through in times where we may not see it, but we know that you're in it with us. You're in it with us. Nothing that the enemy can do can stop your plan and purpose. Thank you, God, for getting us ready, getting us in position, getting your generals ready, getting people ready to see what you're going to do in these last days. Thank you for a hope that's going to rise up in your people to keep moving forward, no matter what, to have the right attitude.